This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
All right, everyone, we are live once again for Thursday Coast. Just a week, been 1 week since the nomination speech of Vice President Kamala Harris to be the first woman, the first Black woman, the first Jamaican woman, the first South Asian woman president of the United States, along with Coach Walls for VP. What an exciting Democratic convention. And it was so crazy. The two of us, Marcos and I, didn't even lay eyes on each other at the convention, which I regret. But nevertheless, we are here. We want to recap it. Of course, he's the founder of Daily Coast, the largest online progressive community, founder of Civics with a Q, civics.com, and also the host of the podcast, The Brief. Hey, buddy, how you feel? You had a chance to recuperate?
I did, and the five-day period passed, and I did not get COVID, so it was 100% huge success.
You're right. Everybody I know who didn't get COVID still ended up in some type of infection or something. It was something going around. I was blessed. I didn't get
it. I didn't got nothing. And so the weather was so good. Mark, I'm from Chicago. Yeah,
beautiful.
And I don't usually miss Chicago. And I was looking at condo listings after the convention. And I had to remind myself that this is not normal. The weather was so perfect. Yeah. Chicago, when the weather is perfect, is it's one of the best cities in the world. And so everything just blessed. But the production was unbelievable. They got to be handing out Grammys for whoever put together the roll call, and Harris accepting the nomination from Milwaukee. It was just the choreography, the ability, the visuals were stunning. The vast majority of speeches were fantastic. It was crazy. And it's still early, and I don't want everybody to get too excited about the polling, but this week the polling is gaudy, Mark. There is a major convention bounce happening, and I wouldn't, typically, historically, convention bounces come back down to earth. Obviously, it's a different year. Donald Trump is, I think he's a horrible person, and he's gone extra the last couple of days. So it may, and people are finally starting to pay attention to him and his BS. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? So next week, Mark, when we talk next Thursday, we will be talking about what the polling actually looks like. And so you pencil that in. Next Thursday, we'll talk polling. But right now, it's looking pretty gaudy, which tells me that the convention was an absolute unmitigated success.
Yeah. Speaking of being a bad person, why don't we all go visit some loved one's cemetery today and take pictures and give the thumbs up?
Oh, thumbs up. Yeah, no, that's exactly what we do while people step on the graves of other fallen heroes, including a special operations soldier who fell, whose his family is not so happy that their fallen family member, fallen loved one, was part of Donald Trump's photo op as his entourage trampled all over their son's grave. It is absolute. Mark, I'm a veteran, and nobody has been this crass. Nobody, and particularly nobody. There's nobody like Donald Trump who has been so disrespectful to service members, from him getting out of the Vietnam War, not because he was a conscientious objector, which I can absolutely respect. He supported the war. He just didn't think it was, he was too rich and too privileged to have to actually fight and die in the war that he supported. And calling our fallen heroes losers and suckers, and mocking John McCain, a war hero, and just recently saying that the Presidential Medal of Freedom that he gave to Miss What's-Her-Face from Adelson, because she donated money, that was more prestigious than a Congressional Medal of Honor, because those people are all shut up and in a bad way.
You probably would be his kind of veteran, because you're not all shut up. You know, he probably would like you.
So he is that disrespectful. He wouldn't even go to visit the graves of D-Day, Normandy, during the D-Day celebrations that one year, because it was raining. He didn't want to get wet. Yeah, his makeup would probably run. And so for him to then pretend to give a damn for a campaign photo op, which is literally against the law, and there better be charges, Mark. It may have to wait till after the election, just because, you know, right now, the atmosphere would make it very difficult. But after the election, there better be freaking charges. He better lose, and then he better be charged for doing that, because that is literally against the law. It's very clear. And his staff literally physically accosted a cemetery employee who tried to stop him from violating federal law for a freaking photo opportunity. And then he hasn't done, he can't even pretend to be solemn about it. Stupid ass grin and a thumbs up.
Yeah.
Thumbs up means like, good job. No, they died. You don't thumbs up somebody dying.
Yeah. No reverence for the space. And when was the last time we saw someone campaigning in a cemetery, let alone a former president? Who does that? But here's a question, Marcos, with all the bad stuff and J.D. Vance and his comments talking about our friend Randy Weingarten and saying women like her who don't have children are a problem. With all of that, why? And I know we'll look at polls next week more closely. But why is it still so close, as bad as he is?
White people. White men. Demographically, that's the answer. White men. White men are the reason. Toxic masculinity. That's the reason. And this is why, to me, the convention, by highlighting Gus Walls, and highlighting Tim Walls, and highlighting Kamala's husband. Can I think of his name right now?
Doug. Dougie.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of his last name. But that they were great examples of positive masculinity and what it means to be a supportive husband and family member, and to love and to not feel threatened by a powerful woman. I think we need more of that in our society, as opposed to the Andrew Tates and the whatever nonsense the right keeps throwing at it. And Mark, this is a conversation for a different time, but young men, young Zoomers are really pulled in by this. It's actually a potentially dangerous situation long-term for us, that young men, are actually drawn to the Andrew Tates, Charlie Kirk type, Joe Rogan. So, and it's fueling the right, the fascist right. It's fueled the fascist right in Europe. It's not just in the United States. It's young, disenchanted, disaffected white men are feeling left behind, left out. And there are people who speak to that in dangerous ways. But yeah, the answer is that men, and particularly white men, are propping him up. And I'll say it now, and I'm going to knock on all the wood. Everybody please knock on wood. But we have the makings right now of a landslide election. There may be, it shouldn't even be close right now. But what's happening is that the trend lines are very clear, and they've been clear for several weeks now. And I've seen polling, and public polling, this is not even like secret polling, public polling that shows that Kamala Harris is within mid-single digits, so around 5 points, mid-single digits away from Trump in Texas, in Florida, in Ohio. And I've seen secret polling that I can't talk about that shows that she's within mid-single digits in Iowa. So there is North Carolina, not even, like, she's actually leading in some polling in North Carolina, right? So there is a universe. I'm not saying it's likely, just to be clear. But I'm saying that there is a universe that if Donald Trump continues his implosion, and he is legitimately imploding right now, he cannot handle the pressure. You saw he posted the blowjob meme. Like, he literally retweeted a blowjob meme. This is how far he's fallen as, forget presidential candidate, like, just basic human decency. Like, he's completely imploding. And so if he continues to do that, and if Harris continues to build on what she has, which is all this momentum and excitement and joy around her campaign, and if people do the work, this is a big part of it, right? It ain't going to happen if people stay home and do nothing. But if all those pieces keep happening and the trends continue, she's headed towards a potential landslide victory.
Wow.
And so we may have the opportunity to literally drive a stake in the heart of MAGA on November.
Mm. Wow, that's pretty impressive. I want to go back. You mentioned white people, particularly white men. And I know I texted you this last night. First of all, I want to do something because I'm trying to help some other people with some information. we can definitively say, I think we've said it on the show, and if you have any details on this, since Dobbs, white women have helped Democrats win just about every election. I think every election, Democrats are undefeated since Dobbs, correct?
Broadly speaking, we've lost races, obviously, but yeah, we won the last two cycles, yeah.
Okay. And white women have shown up in a way that they did not for Hillary or for Biden in 2020, for that matter. I didn't know the numbers were as stark. I didn't realize how stark they were in 2020. Well, that's one point. But I know you've got secret numbers and numbers you can't share and numbers you don't want to put too much stock in until next week. But can you give us a little hint or a glimpse or a teaser about where white
women are? I will say that white women, I don't remember the exact number off the top of my head right now, but and I think I sent it to you, right? In 2020, white women went to Trump by a real number. By 2020, it was pretty even, 50-50. And right now, it stays 50-50. That number hasn't changed. But here's the thing. It's not the percentage of support. It's who's registered to vote and who turns out. And in past cycles, white Republican women were more likely to be registered and more likely to vote. Okay. So turnout's a big piece, right? Mark, if youth turnout increased by, went from, I think it was what, in 2016, no, in 2012 was the highest, was it 2020? It was about 38%. If half of young voters voted, it would not even be close. Like Trump would be losing by double digits, right? So who turns out actually matters as much as what that percentage is, because if 10% of young people turn out and they're 80-20 for Kamala, we got to lose. If 50% of those people and they're 80-20 Kamala, we're going to win by a ton, right? So it actually, the turnout matters. And what we're seeing is Tom Bonnier of Target Smart, which does, they provide the data for much of the progressive infrastructure for the campaigns and advocacy orgs and whatnot. They track voter registration. And amongst women, it's up like 180%. Since before Kamala got in. What we're seeing is, even if it's a 50-50 with white women, the fact that, I'm telling you right now, those women that are registering to vote right now, they're not registering to vote for Trump, right? Every single one of those women is registering to vote for Kamala Harris. What we're gonna see this year, and this is why polling is going to be off, and I think it's going to be skewed against the Democrats this time. I think it's overstating Trump's vote, because pollsters cannot model that. I have a polling firm, Mark. We cannot model that. How do we know? Who are these people? Where are they coming from? They've never voted before. How do you pretend to guess at what their percentage of the electorate is going to be? So the best you can do is guesstimate, right? Polling, people don't understand. Polling is not a science. It's an art. You have to guess at what percentage of young people are going to turn out. You have to guess at how many women, Black voters, Latino voters, et cetera, et cetera. You got to make these educated guesses. And there's some science and analysis behind it. But in the end, they're educated guesses. So you're going to have, you have this flood of new Black women and Latinos, Latinas and white women that are just registering to vote. They're going to vote. They are not included in traditional polling because they've never voted before, right? Mm-hmm. They were not part of the electorate. So what does that look like? What does that mean? And it means really good things for Kamala Harris. That's what it means. So some of the polling may pick that up, but it's going to be hard. And a lot of, like I said, a lot of it is educated guesses. So I think we're going to have almost near universal turnout this year. I think women particularly are absolutely stoked for all the good reasons. And it's gonna make a big difference. And then the other part of that, Mark, which is, I think, very salient, is you're Donald Trump and you're broadly the Republican Party. The gender gap is absolutely crushing you right now. The gender gap, women right now, men are like 60-40 Trump, white men. White women are 60-40, or women in general are 60-40 Harris. That's like a 40-point gap. Like, and more women vote than men, just in the electorate in general. Women are usually about 53% of the electorate. So more women vote. You think you want to do some work to try to narrow that gap, right? That just basic campaigning 101. And instead, Donald Trump is posting make, you know, blowjob memes about Kamala Harris. They're attacking cat ladies. They are, you got JD Vance going around being all weird about if a woman has some bread, like that, his entire worth of a woman is based on whether she's popping out babies or not. It's all weird stuff. And women aren't having any of it, right? So how do you need to narrow that gap? And Harris are doing work to try to narrow the gap amongst men, whether it works or not. But there's an opportunity there. And I'm not saying win the male vote, right? If you get it to 55-45, good, you just won the election. Trump and his people seem to be doing everything they can to not just lock in the anti-Trump vote amongst women, but to increase it, to make it even worse by being absolutely horrendous with the racist and sexist attacks on Harris and in general, just women. It's a, 'cause they're attacking her. They're attacking entire broad swaths of women. So it's absolutely bizarre and weird to me how incapable they are of actually waging a competent campaign.
Is it, though, bizarre when you think about it, even with some of the numbers you shared? They need as much unanimity from the white male electorate as they can get.
Yeah.
And I think they're betting on that. I think they're betting that the average white male hates women that much. I think they're making a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking news, most men actually like women. Yeah. Most cool with women.
I mean, it's weird that they don't realize this, right?
Right. And as a matter of fact, most of us who are tethered or connected do what women tell us to do. This Leave It to Beaver culture that they're in doesn't really exist anymore. I Love Lucy. All that stuff, that's not the way the world functions.
And most men have daughters, if nothing else. There's a big percentage that will have daughters and grandmas.
Yeah, yeah.
And moms.
All of that. This Neanderthal thing about women, why they're hedging all their bets on that or thinking that's going to fly some kind of way. I don't get it. And look, Taylor Swift, Swifties for Harris met the other night, 30,000 people on the call. Carole King led it. You got people like Carole King singing Taylor Swift in front of 30,000 people. You got Sigourney Weaver weeping at a press conference about what Kamala Harris might mean for this country. I don't even know why they're playing around with it. A couple of numbers I want to share. Speaking of Target Smart, registration is up 175% among young Black women. I'm going to give you a homework assignment, if you don't mind. I mean, we know what percentage the African-American population is, but what would it actually mean? Or knowing how loyal Black women are, knowing how Black women have actually saved some elections. Black women single-handedly stopped Roy Moore in Alabama, all right?
Black women, not younger.
So imagine if you got 175% up. I think you just answered the question before. If we're talking about record registration amongst younger women, new women, that's the ballgame. And if 175% of that is Black women, the Target Smart just said Black women. They didn't say Latino women, Latinas.
There is. They have numbers. I've seen them for Latina and overall women. Young Black women are the highest. It makes sense. And the beauty is they're targeting HBCUs. Where are they, Mark? You know this better than I do. Georgia, North Carolina, right? The two of the most important swing battleground states. And they're going to have those sorority sisters. They're going to be working their butt off.
Yeah.
In Georgia and North Carolina.
Economist YouGov says Harris is up 22 points amongst Latino voters. 56-34 with Trump.
JD Vance
is down 19 amongst Latinos. Coach Waltz is up 8 amongst Latinos. And then Daily Coast's own Joan McCarter reports today that a Reuters Ipsos poll says that Trump's lead over Kamala Harris on the economy has nearly vanished.
Yeah. So, Gallup just put out some numbers showing that Democrats are 15 points higher on intensity, excitement to vote. And they were below Republicans with Biden, which we know that, right? We're not ignoring reality. And excitement matters because those are the people that are going to be writing postcards and making phone calls and knocking on doors and making sure that their coworkers vote. So on every possible measure, that's why I'm saying, like, right now, Fox News had swing state polling yesterday where Harris has improved between 5 and 7 points from where Biden was in the previous poll and has her ahead or tied in all the swing states. Just laughing at Donald Trump watching Fox News, showing them paint the map, Harris. Like I said, right now, the numbers are pretty gaudy. Okay. And everything I've seen in, even our old Civics, because Civics is tracking, it's a tracking poll. So we're seeing day by day. So a lot of these are snapshots. I can't talk about our numbers specifically, but what I can say is that the trends are still, Donald Trump is flat. Harris is on an upward trajectory. She's sucking up all the undecideds. And what the polling can't show is that she's sucking up all these new voter registrations. So it's increasing the size of the electorate in a way that that polling is not qualified. It's not what polling does. Polling deals just say Black women are 92% likely to vote Harris, right? 90, whatever. That's what the polling can't say. Polling can't say how many Black women are going to turn out and vote. The polling looks good. The voter registration numbers look phenomenal. Pretty soon, like I said, next week we'll have a really good sense because convention bounces usually last about 1 to 2 weeks, right? So we'll know by next week, by the end of next week, we'll know if, how real it is. Mark, I suspect it's going to stick, but we'll see.
I think you're right. It's nothing but enthusiasm every day. She and Coach Walls sit down, I think, tonight for their first interview together. Not a lot of time left. Real quick, what did you think of the speech? I thought the speech was good. And honestly, Marcos, her personal story, when she told the story about her mom and coming here, being an immigrant and her parents, just that whole piece coming from where they were to where she is now. Even Gallego's story about he said he never slept on a mattress till he went to Harvard. When you tell those kind of stories, and I'm sitting in the hall in the United Center, but I try to step out and imagine myself watching it on television. I can't imagine there were very many Americans who could not relate to her personal story. Whoever made that decision, two ingenious things. DJ Cassidy doing the roll call with the music. You can never go back to the old roll call.
No,
nope. Looks out and all that. And then her coming, she came out right out of the box. This is my mother's story. This is what happened. And it just is one of those kind of stories. You can't turn away from it. Even if people say, well, I'm going to wait and come listen to the middle part of the speech. If you start listening at the beginning, you had to stay because you wanted to hear where that story went. Whoever did that, I think also was.
And she nailed it. She absolutely nailed it. And this is a conversation for another day, but she's unshackled. I think in 2019, she was trying to appeal to a Democratic electorate that at the time was very much more leftist. She had to hide from the fact that she was a prosecutor and like she squirmed around those issues. Now she's leaning in. And I know a lot of people, probably a lot of people listening, don't like the fact that she talked about the multi-lethal military or talked about being a prosecutor or talked about signing the border bill. Mark, she's got one job, and that job is to win. Right now, everything she said, even the stuff we don't like, is stuff that is popular with the vast majority of Americans. And she is doing a masterful job. She's been freed from having to appeal to the party's left flank. And now she's running the campaign that is 100% geared towards winning. And story and her embrace of popular issues really gave, you can even see Trump was like live reacting on his untruth to her speech. It was incoherent because there was nothing for him to really grasp on because she nailed it. Was pitch perfect. He was complaining that people were clapping too much and she was having to thank him too much. He thought that was weird. No, yeah, people love her. That's a thing. You may not know what that feels like, but yeah, it's a thing where people love her. And there's two big sort of signposts for her in winning this election. That was the first one, was a convention speech. That was her introduction to the country. And by the looks of the polls this week, rousing success, like off the chart success. The second one's going to be this debate with Trump. And I was very confident the first debate with Biden, but Harris is not Biden. And in fact, I just saw a story where the Trump campaign, they're so flummoxed right now that they're hoping that the debate is where they can turn things around. So there's going to be a lot riding on that debate, more than most usual, than the usual typical debate. So
I'm going to let you go, but she can lean in on being a prosecutor also, let's not forget, because she has the most prosecutable and most prosecuted candidate, opposite candidate in history. Secondly, even as far as the left, though, I'll be honest, and some of my colleagues are still working on this, there was disappointment that there was not a Palestinian speaker. But we have to admit, you have never heard a convention where a candidate spoke more directly to the cause than she did. She talked about self-determination for Palestine. And I'm going to tell you, being in that room, that place erupted. It literally erupted when she said that. And the whole hall erupted. So that's a sentiment that people share, believe it or not. So that.
And I will say, even when the family of the abducted, of the hostage spoke, place was wrapped. Yeah. There is, I think the vast majority of people understand that the issue is difficult, that people on both sides are hurting, and that this needs to end, and that we need a president that is focused on creating the conditions that allow for a deal that saves lives on both sides.
Yeah, yeah. At this very moment, as we speak, there's a protest going on against Netanyahu right now.
Good. Protest him.
No, but being carried out by Israeli families because
they've been doing this regularly. They're
pissed with him. So,
yeah.
Marco, so folks, next week, you do not want to miss. Same time, same bat channel, live again. Numbers. We're going to blow your minds next week. Real deal. All right. Get some real hard stuff.
Marco. Yeah. Get excited about the polls now, but not too excited because next week is when they're going to actually start really mattering. It's after Labor Day. I've said this from the beginning, Mark. Don't pay attention to polls until after Labor Day. It will be after Labor Day. We're there.
Thanks, Marcos.
Thank you.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.